Just a few thoughts from God's Word this morning. You know, we live in a chaotic world, and the world's in search of peace, and there is no peace. And there's negotiations for peace in the Middle East, and it seems to be a daily occurrence that somebody's calling for diplomacy, but to no avail. Our nation is at war as a result of 9/11, so for 15 plus years we've been at war. And the attack on 9/11 just wrecked our presumed peace. It was shattered, and now there's ISIS, now there's Syria, and Russia's raising its head against us again. And, you know, it's a frightening time in this world. Our national peace continues to be threatened by Iran and North Korea with nuclear weapons. And then at the home front, our families are besieged by divorce and dissension and disease and warfare from every angle, warfare in our homes. Even in churches today, not this church, but it's there. And sometimes churches are dividing over the most petty issues, and it's sad. Jeremiah 6:14 says, "And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, 'Peace, peace,' but there is no peace." And beyond all this, Christians are struggling with personal peace, reaching out instead to the Lord. People who name the name of Jesus as Savior, reaching out to other things, drugs, alcohol, you name it, all sorts of addictions. Questioning their faith, worrying about the future, worrying about who's going to win the election. And it was an ugly election, was it not? But then with all of that, why indeed must we be thankful? Especially at this Thanksgiving time. Why? Well, we could go into the history of Thanksgiving and see that our pilgrims back in, I think it was 1621, had that first Thanksgiving feast. And it was after going through severe hardship. And from that, we see also that in spite of all our problems, the Bible shouts out to believers all through it in many places. But Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything." I love that. Be anxious for nothing. Just don't worry. You know, we hear that, and when we're going through problems, sometimes we just don't want to hear that message. And we think, "Dear Lord Jesus, I have a problem. It's me." Someone else has said the answer that Jesus gives is, "Dear child, I have an answer. It's me. It's me." And He is our answer. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." We need to focus on the one where our hope lies. 1 Chronicles 16:34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." And we saw that repeated in Psalm 100. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good all the time. All the time. And He's not just good when things are good. He's good when things are really going poorly, when things are really bad. Now, a few of you probably know that I spent 9 months in the hospital, and it was pretty serious, very serious. And when I finally got out and back on my feet, I can't tell you how many people would say to me, "Isn't God good?" And I would have to say, "Yes, but you know what? If he had taken me home, he would have been just as good, because his goodness does not depend on my circumstances. His goodness doesn't depend on your circumstances. Bad or good, God is good. And God is in control, and we can trust him." You know the verse, Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose." All things are good, even the bad things. They work together for good. They're not all pleasant. We don't like it. But all things work together by the foreknowledge of God for our good. I don't know how that works, but it does. And oftentimes, we never are able to recognize it until we've come through the problem, and we can look back on it and say, "I see God's hand at work. I see what he's doing," or "I see what he's done." And I believe there's some things that we will not even be able to recognize until we see him face to face. But we as believers have that blessed hope. And it is ours. "Don't worry about anything," Philippians 4:6 says. Don't worry. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast your care on him, for he cares for you." Why should I be thankful? Well, that's a good reason why. Let me give you another reason from the other side of that that issue. And it's really from Romans 1. And verses 18, let me read it to you. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks." See, God is not very happy with a lack of thankfulness. In fact, here it says that his wrath is going to be rendered to those unbelievers, particularly because it's their unthankfulness that drives them away from God. They did not give thanks. So God's not happy with that, but he loves thanksgiving. He does. And so it's a privilege to just be here tonight and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you for my salvation," as several of you have said. "Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you that you care for me. Thank you that," Psalm 5, "we can cast our burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you." Thank you for that, Lord. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Never. And how does he do that? You know, that's what we need, is peace in this wretched world. We need peace. And the world has no answer for peace. They try, but there's no answer. But God gives us, in his word, peace for the anxious. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests," the things that you want, the things that you need. Let them be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts. Another translation says, will mount guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that verse because it's a verse about prayer, and it says in everything, every single thing, in everything with thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And it's one of those verses that God doesn't promise that he's going to answer your prayer the way you ask it. But here's what it does promise. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I can personally testify that that is so true. That is so true. If we just focus on him. Now, that's peace, the peace of God for the anxious. How about the power of God for the apprehensive? You know, there's that too, when we look in the right direction. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. On him. And we need to focus on him. Or as the writer of the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the completer of faith. Focus on him. Our biggest battles are fought in our minds. It's always the place that we need to protect. And there's always a place that we need to defend. It's that old computer term, GIGO, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And so we need to protect our mind, and that's how we protect it. By focusing on him, focusing our mind and our thoughts and our hearts on the Word of God and on Jesus himself. And Philippians 4:8-9 brings us to that point. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell, meditate, think on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the answer is, and the God of peace will be with you. He will be with you. Isaiah, again, when I go through the fire, you're with me. Then the promise of God for the wanting, and that's the end of Philippians 4 and verse 19. We all have needs, big and small. And verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God is not cheap. He's not stingy. It's his desire to supply all of our needs, not necessarily all our wants, and he won't give us the things that he knows are going to be bad for us. Like when my son was 12 and he wanted to drive my car, you know, I just wouldn't do that. I couldn't let him do it, you know. And God protects us from ourselves very often. So what happens when we really want something? Well, don't be anxious about it. Remember, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. But in everything, that thing too, by prayer and supplication, With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and His peace will mount guard over your hearts and minds. And that's really what we need today, is God's peace, and it is right there for us. All we need to do is trust Him. And all we need to do is be grateful and thankful and focus on who He is and what He has done for us. I'll tell you what, the verse that got me through those 9 months in the hospital was Romans 8:32. I love that verse more now than ever. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? God did not withhold His Son from us. The greatest need that we ever had or would have or will have ever. His Son died for us. We can always be thankful. We can always be grateful. We can always remember how He has blessed us in the past through His Son and through many, many other moments in our lives. For how He will bless us in the future. See, that's another place we can look and focus on what's ahead for the believer in Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. What's ahead for us? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are," King James, "many mansions," other translations, "many rooms, many dwelling places." He is preparing a place for you and me who trust Him as Savior and Lord. And we know how to get there. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, that's the blessed hope, that we will see Him face to face and we will be with Him, and then the end of Revelation, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. There's a great day coming. Maybe in this life, but for sure in the life to come. He will bless us in the future. Trust Him. Have faith in a faithful God. And be thankful this Thanksgiving. I know you are, but we all, myself included, need to be reminded, especially when things are tough. So think about Romans 8:32. Meditate on that gift, the gift of Jesus in your life, and it'll do you wonders. It'll bring that peace that you need in times of trouble. And it'll give you joy in times of difficulty. Amen. Amen.